April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey! Hello! It is the Go Birds Podcast, presented by the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app. And when you heard that, hey, it was like, hey, I'm tired. It was a long day at the airport yesterday. I didn't realize how much you go through traveling all the time during the season. It
Welcome
takes it out of
you,
buddy.
18 times a year.
Yeah,
no, that's
man.
No.
Fun it's time. Like delayed flights, late nights, early mornings. But I'm here talking to you and everything's better
so
now.
I do want to say this off the top.
Ooh, like, love a good off the top.
I'm going to put like a hands up for both of us on this. Mm-hmm. We apologize to the real ones. There's not as been as many pods. Like, I feel like we were doing the everyday pod and felt like we were doing all the time. And then the off season happened. Like, I've been traveling. You're doing the thing. There's been no Go Birds Radio. So just want to say we miss everybody.
Yeah.
And sorry it hasn't been what it was.
It's a great point.
In terms
and
of
look,
frequency.
Look, and the daily thing was special. And that's why it was special. And look, when the Eagles make their Super Bowl run next year,
we'll
you
have
better
dailies.
Believe we're going to
have
daily
we'll have
pods
dailies,
again.
Yeah.
Like, that's happening. But to your point, we have not.
There you go.
Not see, I'm a mess today. Yeah. We've not had the radio show.
No,
so
Go Birds Radio.
And we
yeah.
will be back April 1st.
April 1st, we are
April
supposed to be on.
First, we'll be on the radio unless there's some spring training rain out.
Yeah,
and then,
there's
no more spring training then.
At this
so
point,
we're
I feel like
shape.
Something will happen.
Something will, but we'll be on the radio
we're
then.
Supposed
and
to
then,
be on the radio.
And then eventually come, you know, middle of April, back like normal and all that.
Every week, all that
so
stuff.
So I think that's hurt us and all that. But, you know, like the daily pods were its own thing. And then, you know. Life stuff.
Well,
you know, I wake up at 3:20 in the
morning.
Well, I was
gonna say, now, like,
to, you know,
I'm obviously 1,000% not putting any blame on you, but it is crazy when you think about how much your life has changed.
I know.
You know, just like, and it's funny, like, I feel the impacts of that too, just in the way, you know, even like small things like I'll come in and do the pod. Like, we always used to do at 2 o'clock. I come in now at 10, and there's just no parking.
I can imagine.
So I'm obviously the victim here in this
Clearly.
Situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, but it's funny because there are so many, like, little things in my life that I notice.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like my favorite text thread of all my text threads we've talked about on the air before or on the pod before, it's you, me, and Jack. Yeah. We have a really fun thread.
Baseball guys.
Elliot, for who have not heard, is like, it is literally Elliot's best spot. Elliot is awesome. He's awesome
on the
radio.
He's awesome
on here. Elliot makes me laugh in that thread more than any other texter that I text with at all times.
It's like, funny because now after 7 o'clock, you're just gone.
Well, that's where I was going with this. That's my point. It's like, it's little stuff where it's like at night, we all used to text about stuff and all that. Now I wake up to like 30 texts between the two of you, and I'm like, well, I missed that. So it is different.
So last night we're watching the World Base like all individually. I don't know if you watched it, I guess.
Well, I fell asleep.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I was texting with Jack about something else on the side, but like I kept putting in the observations into the baseball guys. But in my head, I'm like, he's sleeping. Like, I might as well just send it to Jack. But no.
But I love it. I love waking up,
wake up to it. Yeah.
But there's a lot of that type of stuff. Like, even like, just little stuff that you wouldn't think about that just comes up on a daily basis. Like, oh, wait, I do that. I have to do that now instead.
Right.
So it's just, it is a big change.
So that's
we'll
what I'm trying
there.
To say.
We
everybody.
Will get there.
Like, we're all friends here. We're all Auto One Reel downloaders. We're trying our best to record as much as we can. You would just be floored at how much is getting in the
Way. Exactly. Yeah. And again,
I'll be in Arizona next week.
Yes. And look, we did do daily pods during the Super Bowl. You know, the heart and thought behind it all is we want to get you as many pods as we can. We love talking to you and we appreciate you being here.
And lots happening.
And a lot's happened. So let's get into it because we're coming up later. A big pod announcement.
Yes.
Very excited about this
Very, very excited.
That's coming up and a lot more to get to. But let's start with, I think, the biggest news since we last spoke. And I think, you know, maybe a magic trick played by Howie Roseman, because we went into this offseason and like we've talked about many times on this pod, the any poll that's out there, it doesn't matter if it's you, it's the station or any Eagles beat putting out, it's like, who do you want to keep of the big three? Javon Hargrave, James Bradbury, CJGJ. And CJGJ is winning these polls 80%, 75%. Like it was, we talked about, I'm like, what is going on here? It's so astounding. Like Javon Hargrave is a more important player if nothing else. But like this guy that Eagles fans like, loved and wanted back, and somehow not only is he not coming back, and we'll get to that, but in not coming back, somehow Howie Roseman, who you know has done great things this offseason, keeping Bradbury and all that, but somehow has flipped around the narrative and flipped the whole thing with the early offer and this and that.
Right.
Where people are like, "Matt, good, it's all good."
Well,
it's crazy. It is such a wild. Like I can't believe the reaction has been so like, you know,
so
no big deal.
What's interesting is. And, you know, the pods we have been able to do, I've been pretty clear. Like, I would not have prioritized Chauncey.
Real
right?
quick, can I give you a quick victory lap? Because
of
everyone out there.
Yes.
You freaking nailed this offseason.
Thank you.
So annoyed when people on the radio be like, no one thought James Bradbury is coming back. I'm like,
Yeah,
One person did because I talk to him all the time about it. You were like, I don't think they're going to bring CJGG back. I don't believe this. Oh, they're prioritizing. Like, you've been all over
Appreciate
this stuff
it.
All of season.
Yeah.
So credit where due.
Well, but here's what I'm going to call, and I don't know if this requires earmuffs or not, but I'm going to call bullshit on the Eagles.
Ass requires earmuffs, but not shit.
Well,
yes, shit is
curse
an earmuff
word pod will come.
Yes.
We will have the curse word pod.
That will happen.
Here's my thing, right? So it's down, not even down, but as much as I've not been in the camp of like, they have to get him, blah, blah, blah. Like, I would have matched that CJ contract.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I would have matched it. Like, look, I think that there's different levels of players. Like, I think CJ is a replacement level player. But for $6 million.
He's a little better than a two-year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
he's not
he has
a,
upside.
You don't think he's a top tier safety.
I don't
the way
think
some
he is like, I was thinking about this. He's like, where would you even rank him on top players on the defense last year?
Well, it's a good point. Yeah,
like, I don't know.
You would definitely put the top two edge rushers above him. You would put
Hargrave
above him.
Both corners.
You put both corners above him. I mean, you could argue you put
TJ,
Brandon Graham with his production
argument.
Above him. You could argue at least. Yeah, no, it's interesting.
But so here's my thing with this like whole, they wanted him back, blah, blah, blah. They did not want him back. It's like the Jalen Hurts Carson thing where it's like deep down, all of us believe a little bit that they had to draft him knowing that he could take over for Carson, right? You will never, ever convince me that the Eagles had a priority on Chauncey. Because if they had a priority on Chauncey,
he'd be here.
Chauncey would be here.
Yeah.
Look at the money, right?
And here, and the age, to your point. You always said someone this age, they want.
That's why I never, once he hit free agency, and that's why when I was in Indy, I got this feeling like it would be over. They would just sign him. Now, to Howie's credit, he did read the market correctly.
Brilliantly.
He did. But I think it ended up hurting him a little bit because I do believe that they made him an offer. He was offended by it, and like things spiraled from there in the way of like, I think via his Twitter, he's made this clear, like he felt disrespected by what happened out there, right? Now, the agent tweet where he said they offered him 3 years with 17 in the third year.
Money and all that.
I find that hard to believe.
I do too. Like, that was, like, why even, like,
it's a rude offer.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they said, here's $7 million for 2 years.
Right, like, that's $3.5 million a year for 2 years.
No way!
Now, for what it's worth, he got, like, you know, basically probably $6 million for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So they weren't that far off.
Right.
So I think a couple things happened. One, I do think the market ended up not being what Chauncey thought.
His agent thought, by the way.
I'm sure there are other safeties out there that are having the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But
other than Jesse Bates, whose agent should get a big portion of that money for what he did.
Jesse Bates is a way better player.
A long-established great
safety. And that's been my point about Chauncey is. We can talk about the safety market's not good, all these things. The one safety that we all agree is awesome got paid a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's the safety market. I think it's the safeties that were on the market. Like, so when I look at, you know, what the agent said and all this stuff, I do believe the Eagles for a certain price would have kept Chauncey. But if it's true, and I haven't been able to verify this myself, but, you know, whatever, like, take it for what it is. People have said it. If they had a chance to match that contract and didn't do it, I understand things might have been heated by that point, whatever. Maybe Chauncey didn't want to come back, right? You can't tell me they valued him. You just can't. And I'm not saying they're wrong for that, but I don't think that the Eagles get to do a thing of like, we wanted, or at least create this perception of like, well, we wanted to keep him, but didn't work out. No, if you wanted him, he'd be here. And I'm okay with that decision. I don't think, like, I would have ultimately matched at the end because the money's so cheap, but I'm okay with the fact that they took Bradberry and Slay, and I think Cox's money is money better spent than on CJGJ. Like,
certainly a more important position, as we know, and a position in need.
And, I mean, you could argue just as good of a season, if not a better season.
I think based on positional importance and stuff.
But here's the other thing about Chauncey, and again, this is probably the result of me just talking about all the time. I don't want to come across like I'm continually shitting on Chauncey, because I get that he's a young player with upside, he had, like, all that stuff. Like, Chauncey was top 5 in the league in missed tackles last year. He was top 10 in the league in touchdowns allowed for safeties.
Hold up. Top 5 missed tackles, he missed a bunch of games. Was he top 5 overall or in tackles per game?
Among safeties, I'm sorry.
But in tackles per game or overall?
Overall missed tackles.
I mean, he missed like 5 games. That's pretty bad.
He was not a good tackler, right? Like, and I love how there's this perception of him now that he's a hard hitter because he had one hard hit in the Super Bowl.
He,
like, it's fine. I don't need my safety to be a hard hitter. Chauncey's not a hard hitter. He, like, how many plays can we think of last year where he nailed somebody across the middle?
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl play, and there's probably another I'm forgetting, but there certainly isn't 4 or 5. So I think the Eagles were correct to evaluate Chauncey how they did. I think ultimately I would have matched for continuity and it's cheap, whatever. I also don't think it's fair now to do like a, well, you know, Chauncey might have been a problem in the locker room. Like,
I was going to ask you about
next. If you offered him a multi-year deal, then you can't also tell me you had concerns about
it. But how much do you think, forget the locker room part of it, the social media, the talking in public, that type of again, I don't think in the locker room problem, but, you know, talking about your defensive coordinator, this and that, do you think that stuff played a role at all in the...
I mean, I'm sure they didn't like it,
right?
But again, if he was everything that... that fans and media, like, whatever thought, then that stuff wouldn't matter. I think that maybe that's... I don't think Chauncey's not back because of the Twitter. Flat out, point blank. I don't think that. But I'm sure it was annoying. Like, you're in the middle of negotiating. It's not going well. He's tweeting about he's disrespected. He's tweeting goodbye to the Eagles. Like, just put any walk of life, any job. You're, like, negotiating with somebody and then the other person is, like, out talking about it publicly. I'm sure that they didn't like that. Right? Now, you know... Like, obviously, there's reporting in the NFL. You don't want to speculate where it comes from, but I'm sure the Eagles also made sure their message was out there, which is fine. But, like, ultimately, my thing with CJGJ is this. I think I would have matched at the end. I think he was an overrated player in the way that, A, the market dictated that, but also I think the importance of getting him back wasn't that important. And I think that the CJGJ cloud overshadows what I think has been a really good offseason for the Eagles. I think that if you, at the beginning of the offseason, would have listed, okay, let's rank the best players that could potentially leave. And we'll include Jason Kelce because he could have retired. I know he wasn't going to leave for another team, but he could have retired. You would have gone, like, Kelce, Slay, Hargrave, Bradberry.
Probably would have gone, yeah. Kelce,
you know, Fletcher, maybe.
Kelce, Hargrave, Slay.
In some order, right? But they kept probably the top 4 or 5 players on that
list.
Four
of them, yeah. Hargrave is really...
Oh, yeah, Hargrave, you're right. My bad. Hargrave.
And but that's the one guy.
The one guy they lost, right? So, ultimately, maybe a simpler way to put it is this. I would rather have the guys they kept than the guys they lost. If it was, you could lose Kelce, Bradberry, Slay, Fletcher, and BG, but you get back Epps, TJ, Hargrave, and CJ, I would keep the group that they kept.
I would too, for what it's worth. Now, the only concern, and I think it's a concern a lot of people have voiced, and I think it's where people get mad, is the Fletcher Cox thing. Do you think it, like, the you know, how he learned his lesson, he's not going to give, you know, guys mm-hmm. who've been great Eagles or whatever, like, do you think he did? Was there any of that in that? Because I think we all agree, what Brandon Graham took for 1 year is a no-brainer coming off his
right.
year. Jason Kelce was coming back no matter what, and we're all happy to have him. The Cox thing, though, he did have a nice year sacks-wise last year. You know, there's still a lot of Eagles fans who thinks he takes plays off and does, and isn't necessarily the guy you want to bet on moving deeper in his career, as he has declined for the most part, you know, outside of a bit of a bounce back last year. Well, do you think Howie at all got a little sentimental, or do you think it's strictly positional, strictly player?
Well, what's interesting about the sentimental thing is when they signed Fletcher to the 1 year, $14 million deal coming off of 2021, that was viewed as like sentimental, thank you money, he's not worth that. He ended up being really good. So mm-hmm. you could argue that that was the right decision. Like, we can nitpick 14, 11, whatever. The Eagles are not as good in 2022 if they don't have Fletcher Cox. Now, could they have signed another young defensive tackle? Maybe, right? I get that point. But I think that when you look at the perception that Howie's being sentimental, right? That, to me, comes off of, and he said it, so I'm not going to say he's wrong. But I do think it's overplayed a little bit. If you look from after they won the Super Bowl in 2017, like after they won it and they went back to repeat, if you just go back and look, like, what sentimental moves did he make? The sentimental moves came...
Well, Jason Peters, but I guess, like, even
he was in the second year of a new 3-year deal. Yeah. Like, financially, it was hard to move on from him. I think in 2020, like...
Yeah, I think it's more like 2019-20.
Yeah, that's where the mistakes were made. After 2019, where, like, Carson didn't look good, like, all those things, then he was sentimental for sure. But these are different time frames. Like, the Eagles are in their 2017-2018 offseason. And if you look at that offseason, he got rid of Torrey Smith, he got rid of Vinnie Curry, Brent Celek retired, he didn't re-sign Darren Sproles until, I think, training camp, if I remember correctly. And Darren Sproles was, like, a third-string running back. Mm-hmm. But if you look, he wasn't that sentimental that offseason. And if you look at guys he could have moved on from then, it really is just Jason Peters.
Well, and Alshon. The Alshon thing
But who in their right mind would have moved on from Alshon?
No, I know, but it was the whole, like, the injury and then, you know, the IR. And they had all that stuff. But I agree. You weren't.
That was later on, right?
I think it was that and then they extended, they did the restructuring.
That was
and
the
then
biggest mistake he made.
The years later, and that's when you're
that
like,
was the Alshon thing, and his injury was devastating. But, like, yes, that was a big mistake by Howie to do what he did with that money. But what I'm saying is, when you think about this, the idea that Howie's sentimental, I'm not sure it's based in as much fact as we give it credence. Is that the right way to
say
it? As we give it credence. Because if you look at this offseason, all of us agree Kelce should be back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of us. Brandon Graham got...
For that money, there's not a single
almost
person
anything, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Fletcher Cox would be the one. But Fletcher had more money from the Jets, for what it's worth. So, like, it wasn't like Howie is out here offering
giving him something
10,
that no one else would, right.
And I think Fletcher's an important player. Now, I don't know the defensive tackle market as well as the Eagles should know it. So is there a player out there that they could have signed for similar money that's younger, that is an upside signing? Maybe. But I also think part of where the Eagles are at is they're trying to go back and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they should. In the conference they're in with the quarterback they have, they should be going for a Super
Bowl. I think the ineptitude of the NFC East has to make the Eagles view this differently.
The NFC period.
Yeah, NFC period, correct, yeah. So when I look at Fletcher, Kelce, and BG, again, individually, I think they're all fine decisions. If you want to say collectively he's bringing back too many old players, it's an interesting discussion. But if you look at the offense is extremely young. The receivers are young. Goddard's young. Hurts is young. Mylott is relatively young.
Dickerson.
Juergen's going to be in his second year. Dickerson, right? The running backs are all young now, right? So they have a lot of youth on the offensive side of the ball that they didn't have in 2017. In 2017, they were old. Wentz was coming off a major injury and was older than Hurts. Alshon was old. Trying to remember who they... Deshaun was 2019. But, you know, Aguilar was in, like, his fourth or fifth year. So they were an older team. Peters was on there, like, right? So I just think you can't go into next season with all young players.
I agree.
A number of things. One, guys that are good players don't hit free agency until after their 4 years because teams keep them, right? So you're never going to sign a third-year young player in free agency. Mm-hmm. It's just very unlikely. But also, if you're going to be really young on offense, and then on defense, they are older, for sure. And I did the thing about I would bring back different players, new blood and all that. And I think there's still some truth to that. But I think it is going to be a benefit that they have three guys, or, you know, four guys if you include Land, that have played in a Super Bowl
and then had to go back.
Like, yeah, there's good experience that can be gained from that. So when I look at the decision to bring back the older players, and was it the right or wrong one? I think it was the right one. Now, could they get hurt in training camp? Sure. Are they more likely to get hurt because they're older? I guess. I'm not sure if there's science for that, but sure. Let's just say there is. But I don't see a problem with any of the moves. And I think that the key part of this is, not to go on too long of a tangent, but if in free agency, it's like the draft, right? Around the draft, we get so fixated if a guy's 6'1 or 6'2, or if his arms are, you know, if he has 70-inch wingspan or 69 or 68, and it's like, oh, this really matters. I think in free agency, sometimes age matters, but it gets oversold. The Eagles brought back the best players that were. Like, Kelsey is better than CJ, GJ. Slay, Hargrave's debatable. Hargrave's the one. But outside of that, like,
they were always going to lose.
They brought
like
back
that,
their best players. So while they're older, they're better. And that's part of the equation.
Yeah, look, I think considering what we expected coming into the offseason, and again, shout out to, I mean, Howie has become a master at messaging and at controlling the narrative. And yeah, the CJ GJ thing is a masterclass in terms of one guy, the entire
fan
base.
Well, CJ's not helping himself either.
He's not, but again, this guy signed for $6.5 million.
Yeah.
And the Eagles didn't match it. The Eagles didn't sign him before all this stuff. It's like this fan base wanted him so desperately. And the vast majority of the fan base is like, oh, CJ GJ screwed up. Sucks for him. Like,
yeah,
see you later. Like, it's amazing that he's done this. But Howie has done a great job with that across the board. And I think heading into this offseason, I think he did a really good job of like setting low expectations, saying we're going to lose guys. And they have. But by keeping Bradberry, by bringing BG, Kelsey, all this stuff that he's done, he's looks better than people thought he was going to. It's like, wow, better offseason than I thought. So across the board, I think Howie has done a brilliant job of selling what he's doing and getting the fans on board with what he's doing.
I also think if you look back at the offseason between the Super Bowl and the 2018 season last year, where he made the mistake was he signed older players. I went and I looked. Michael Bennett, they traded for him, but he was 33.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Elodie Nada, 34. Mike Wallace, 32. Sproles, not a huge deal, whatever, but he was 35. Like, so I think the mistake they made before wasn't being sentimental to their own players. It was they went and signed old players. Now, we can talk about all the guys they've signed this offseason. They might all suck, and they're all hurt, but they all are young. Like, they're all, you know, 26, 27-ish. The safety Evans, I'm not sure of his age off the top of my head. He's been hurt a ton.
Yeah, a ton.
But, like, they're not signing mid-30s guys like they did before. And I think that's a big part of what made them get old and slow quick is they brought in old guys. They already had an older roster, but then they made it older by bringing in old guys. They're at least signing younger guys. They might suck. They might not be good. But they are at least young for what it's worth for everyone worried about the age.
All right, I want to talk about those guys in a sec. Morrow and Evans and all that. We'll get to that in a minute. And also coming up later for our final thought, I have
so many final thoughts.
Okay, good. Because mine today is as Elliot a final thought as I maybe have ever had. It's the kind of thing where when it comes out of my mouth, people are going to be like, wait, was that Elliot
speaking? I'm excited to hear it.
And I'm really intrigued to see what you think of it.
All right.
Okay, so we'll get there. But we said big show announcement before. We are so happy, so thrilled.
Yes.
To bring another sponsor onto this podcast, Window Nation, baby.
Window Nation, welcome to the Auto Downloader fam.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome to the real ones. Shout out to the Auto Downloaders and Real Ones because you guys are awesome, and that is part of what makes the pod grow. We all know, like, Parks has been unbelievable. And
Parks still here. We love Parks. We'll tell you about Parks in a minute.
Yep. But here's why I love it so much. Like, we all listen to different podcasts. Obviously, you should only listen to this pod. But we hear people do ads for things that you know they have no idea what's going on, right?
Totally.
How many times have I brought up being afraid of my house
it's
on this pod?
It's all you talk about. It's your
siding,
biggest fear.
Rain, windows, wind.
Yep.
So to partner up and to have someone on the pod now that I know I can call when I'm worried about my house, frankly, is unbelievable. Again, this how windy was it last week? Unbelievably windy, right? So I have a small piece of siding on my house that is moving whenever. I'm being mature about it. I'm not flipping out. But
yeah, you're talking about it right now. No big deal.
Right, yeah. But what's awesome is, like, I went to windownation.com, and they do siding.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
So perfect.
And I kid you not, it made me calmer. Like,
Love knowing
that I have someone in my pocket that can help is unbelievable. So super excited to have them on board. I mean, we're going to have all types of fun with this in terms of talking about our houses, windows into our lives. Like, there's going to be a lot of fun. But the other fun part about it is this. They got some great deals going on.
Love great deals.
If you are a homeowner,
let me tell you, real quick, Elliot.
What do you love?
There is, not just me, my wife, Emily Salter.
Yes.
There is nothing on this planet that she loves more than a deal.
Yeah.
She loves deals. Honestly, I could buy something that we don't need at all in our house as long as it's a good deal.
Sure. And you know what I've been really into recently? And I'm not just saying this, 0% financing. I think when I was
why
younger,
wouldn't it be? It's
well, when I was younger, I don't think I appreciated
really
it as much.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really get it. I was kind of like, just you literally just pay the same price over time. It's like a it's like having a credit card that doesn't impact your credit.
Yep.
So anyway, so we're excited to have them on board when we're talking about houses, all these things. I want to read you all their specials because we want you guys to take advantage of it. So look, here's another benefit of it. Nationwide, energy prices have increased 14% since last year. That's a wild stat. I feel like that
it's
should
insane,
be on the news.
Yeah.
It is, but here's the good news. It isn't too late to do anything about it. If you're a homeowner, you have higher energy bills, this is going to help you out. Beat the spring rush with the, it feels like spring outside. Beat the spring rush with the
it
last
technically
month off.
Spring.
Oh, okay, you're right.
March 22nd now. Yeah.
I always forget when it's going to be spring. Mm-hmm. So here's a special they have, and I think this is pretty sick. I might do it after I fix the siding issue, which they are going to help me with. You get two windows free with every two you buy with zero payment, zero monthly or zero down payment, zero monthly payments, and you pay zero interest for 24 months. So I'm not saying the windows are free, but it's certainly in your pocket. It'll probably feel that way. Zero down payment, zero monthly payments, zero interest for 24 months. New windows will pay for themselves with the energy bills, energy savings that you're going to get on the bills, and you will pay nothing for two full years with 0% financing, saving you hundreds of dollars. Go to the window company that has installed over 2 million windows. That's a ton of windows. By installers with over a decade of experience only using the top-of-the-line insulation materials. So how can you do this? You call 866-90-NATION and get two windows free with every two you buy with no limit. So if you got a big house, like you're rich out there, you can get a lot of windows. Plus, make no down payments, no down payment, no payments, and no interest on your payments for 24 months. Call Window Nation today, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. You can tell them Elliot Shore Park sent you, but also tell them James Seltzer said you. And honestly, I feel like if you tell them you're a real one auto downloader,
yes!
they might get that too.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go in and say, you know, I'm an auto downloader and see
right.
the face they make at you, and they'll either know or they won't.
So that's the new thing with the pod. We're a Window Nation pod, and that'll help you guys out.
Yeah. I might need to go in. I got a little leak in my window too. There's
yeah.
nothing worse than like all it's raining and then there's
yeah
water coming to your house. Like it's
horrible. It is honest to God truth. And
energy thing is true too. Like that really matters. Like you can really save with
yeah.
heating, with insulation, with all that type of stuff. So
I will say Kristen handles all the bills in the house.
Yeah,
maybe I'll go to her and be like, so I've heard you're paying 14% more on interest. Do I need to take this over?
Bro, yeah. I haven't paid a bill in my house in a decade.
Well,
so
we should probably highlight. We help pay them. We just
have
no
idea. We contribute money.
Right, yes. But in terms of when they're due, what they cost. Yeah.
There's a reason I have an over an 800 credit score, and it has nothing to do with
that. What a flex.
Okay. Yes, it was flex. Thank you.
So welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Speaking of the family, download the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app, especially if you just went through, you know, the last weekend's basketball action.
Yes.
And you were not on that. I was texting Elliot about
I know,
all my
you were,
bets.
You were
I was
into
in
it.
My bag,
yeah.
buddy. So preview for tomorrow, for the Parks Picks Pod tomorrow, I'll give you a little trick. I had some real success with something from a college basketball
perspective. Oh, you were telling me about this.
Telling you.
And then it's always like when people give you betting tips, you're like, oh, that's cool. But deep down, you're like, you were sending me all the screenshots.
I was sending
him
the screenshots. Like, I was winning money with this, and I was just doing the same thing throughout. So, pretty cool thing. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But, you know, you got to download the app to do this with us. We've been having so much fun gambling on the tournament, gambling on all this action. And, of course, you know, starting to get in some football futures action. We'll talk more about that. And even more importantly, next week, early in the week, the MLB over-unders pod, railing through them all. So, we'll go through all that. But you got to download the app and have some fun with us to make this happen. The app is easy to use. It's intuitive. It is fun. And again, you can download it in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com. Use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get $750 in site credit back if you are not a winner. Again, so much fun. And for this weekend's basketball, do it now because coming up tomorrow, we got more basketball and it's going to be awesome. So you must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right.
Boom.
Thank you to everyone. Window Nation Parks, we love you both so much. All right. Let's start with Morrow, because that one, I believe, happened first. Either way, I think Morrow.
That was the most recent.
And I
it
think
went
Morrow,
Greedy
the,
Williams,
I think if
Evans.
You're, oh, I forgot about Greedy. Okay, so so let's go in order. Let's go with Morrow first, because I think the Greedy and Evans thing are not guys who are probably going to start for this team. There's a real chance that that Nicholas Morrow is one of your starting linebackers this year. Your thoughts?
Here's what's Greedy's not going to start. Presumably.
I think he's the one I'm most excited
about
the three.
I will say they could move Avante to safety
and start Greedy at nickel.
Now, I don't know if he's – I'll have to look. I forgot to look up if he's played nickel. I know he's more on the outside, I believe. But here's what I would caution people on like their low-money, low-risk signings. They were also priority signings. Like, these guys were signed within the first week of free agency. And very, very rarely do the Eagles sign a player in the first week of free agency, and does that player not end up playing a major role. Like, they've had misses where guys just aren't good. But I think these are guys they targeted. Now, and I think they targeted them for a few reasons. One, because the Eagles don't have a ton of money to spend because they're signing their own players. For what it's worth, I was on Over the Cap yesterday, and I've been paying attention to cap stuff for, I don't know, really closely for probably 7 or 8 years. I've never seen them in the negative. The Eagles are in the negative.
Wow.
Now, the Slay deal isn't in, so that impacts it. I'm just saying the visual of seeing the Eagles in the red, never seen it.
Wow.
So,
well, we keep saying, and I know it's the restructuring, I'm sure the Lane thing will happen and all that, but like the whole time, I think a lot of Eagles fans are just like, what?
Yeah.
Where's it? Didn't we have no money at all? Like, how are we bringing Bradbury back? How'd they redo this? How is Cox getting this? How is Graham? $14 million for Kelsey? Like, what?
And once the Slay numbers come in, and I firmly believe Lane is going to restructure, I think they could be up to $20 million. So it's going to change that.
And real quick, something that you've talked about many years before, like, the number that, like, how he always carries money.
It's
over.
Always the 10.
So, like, whatever the number is, like,
it's. I subtract 10 from it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they have to pay two first round picks through, this
and the
year.
Yeah, great point.
But so, Greedy Williams.
Not
Evans,
necessarily. They might trade, you know, whatever. True. But yeah.
In the second round pick. So, Greedy Williams, Evans, and Nicholas Morrow, I think it's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Morrow or Morrow. Either.
Here would be my macro take on them.
Drink.
They're all like young upside. Well, Evans not. Williams and Morrow, I think, are young upside signings. Morrow has missed time with injury. Greedy Williams has missed time with injury. Evans missed 3 seasons with an Achilles,
not played much,
which is wild. Now, I will say he was on the up. He was improving before he got hurt.
He's a second round pick back.
He played
in
the on the Saints last year. Their defense was good. So, you know, and he played a decent amount of snaps. I think it was almost 40%. The linebacker Morrow played 100% of the snaps for the Bears last year. The Bears defense was not that great, but 100% of snaps is still 100% of the snaps.
No, no.
And so
he's played a lot of snaps. Played with the Raiders a fair amount too.
Played
like,
a lot
he's
with the Raiders.
A lot.
He was at 70 in the seasons he's played, and he missed a season due to injury. But in the seasons he's played, his last 3 years, he's been over 70% of the snaps.
It's significant.
So I do think they're coming in saying, you know, ideally N'Kobe Beats, you know, ideally other people get snaps, but I think they're into the idea of him playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is he's just here to play special teams and be inactive. I think they are thinking he could be a contributing player. So there's that. So I'm in on the Morrow signing. I think it's a good upside. Like, again, I don't think linebackers are super important, so I don't think they have to go out and make a big, big move at the position. So if you want to take a chance on them, you know, they correctly evaluated TJ, they correctly evaluated Kaiser, maybe they get the benefit of the doubt on this one. And I like the fact that he's young. Again, when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, they signed old players. I like the fact he's young. He's a former safety, so, you know, I'm going to assume he's fast. I haven't watched his tape yet, but if you're a former safety, I'm guessing one of your benefits of speed. So I'm okay with that signing. Greedy Williams, you know, high upside guy, LSU corner, which I like.
Another second round draft pick.
Yeah, even just like a small thing, and this is a very Elliot observation. He steps out of the car at the NovaCare yesterday and he like starts flapping his wings like he's an eagle. He just feels like a Jalen Mills type of guy.
I mean, and Greedy is such a great name.
Yeah,
for
Greedy Williams is a great corner name.
Great name.
He was playing well with Cleveland before he got hurt. I think he has the mentality you want in a corner from what I've seen.
And, SEC guy.
Yeah, like so I'm in on that signing. And again, low money. I think that you could see a couple things with him. One, he could just be a top backup on the outside. He could come in when they play, you know, 5 or 6 defensive backs on the field. Or it could be they move Avante to safety and he's your nickel. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he's a little tall for a nickel, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, maybe I'm just thinking Avante because Avante is small. But, so that, I like that signing. The safety Evans, I mean, I don't know what you even expect at this point.
Yeah.
He's missed 3 years with an Achilles injury. He played limited snaps last year. You know, again, young, so he's not 34 coming off an injury. But I think also what the Eagles are doing is you're seeing that they trust their medical staff based off last year. Now, is that a smart risk? I don't know. I think injury stuff, they get credit for it, but it's also mostly
Spooky.
Luck.
Yeah.
So I think,
again, I do. We mentioned this before. I do think the fact that, you know, that NFL PA poll that came out ranking all the teams and different things, like all the stuff that relates to like training and health and stuff, like the Eagles were really highly rated, strength and conditioning, like all that. So, you know,
and it probably made them appealing to these.
I'm sure it did. So at least it's something where it does feel like, you know, they have at least some reason to believe that outside of just the success they had this past season.
So I'm fine with the signings. I think they have to add other safeties. I don't think you can go into the season with Reed Blankenship and Evans. Yeah.
I don't think you can count Evans for anything. Like, I think this is upside play. But again,
he did play last year. He's not coming off the three straight
games. Right, but I don't think you
can
look at him and say, all right, got it. Like, I just think you 100%. Got, you know, he could battle for a job, bring it out, whatever, but like, I just don't think you can say, all right, we trust this guy to be
and
our
safety. And I also
safety.
Don't think you can go into...
Especially with Blankenship.
I don't think you can go into the season trusting Blankenship. I like Blankenship.
I think
he has upside.
Too.
But you can't go into the season with like him, Evans, Kayvon Wallace, and a safety you drafted in the third round. They have to add a veteran there. And I think that's part of replacing CJ in the way that, look, CJ was a risk taker. And part of it led to interceptions, but it also led to blown coverages. It led to bad tackling angles for missed tackles. I think if you're going to have Bradberry, Slay, and let's assume Avante stays at nickel, and you're going to play a coverage that is built with not giving up big plays, I don't know. I'm okay with bringing in like a 29-year-old, 30-year-old Adrian Amos, just having him. He's more of an in-the-box safety, but a veteran that has played the position for
say
a few
the name.
Years.
Just say the name.
What?
Jalen Mills. What about that?
Well, the funny Jalen Mills thing is, when he left in 2020, so at like the offseason when he left, he had better grades from Pro Football Focus than CJ GJ did. Everybody was okay with Jalen leaving, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted CJ back. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. I don't know how I feel about Jalen coming back. What do you think?
I think with the situation they're in at safety, he knows the position, he knows the city, he just played for Belichick for a couple years.
Like, I think he might have been bad.
He might have been, but I'm not saying it's a great answer.
Right.
I agree. I'd rather have Adrian Amos. I think he's a more talented safety than Mills is. But like, we're talking McMills, McLeod. Like, we're talking about these kind of older guys on the back end.
I would not bring in McLeod.
No, I'm just saying. I'm naming the names that I've seen out there that I've seen people mention.
John Johnson.
Sure. Not the WIP.
Not
host.
Jan Johnson.
Yes. I think we should make that official. He's only Jan Johnson.
If they sign John Johnson, he has to then be
Jan Johnson. But yeah, I think that, like, I'm with you. I think they need to bring some, especially if we're talking about Evans and we're talking about Blank, like, they need to bring in someone who has played more than a year of the NFL, of safety in the NFL.
And so John Johnson, to me, they liked him before he signed with the Browns. He plays, if you look at where he lined up last year, he lined up in very similar spots to Marcus Epps. So I think he makes sense to replace Epps. And then Adrian Amos or Jalen Mills, I think, is more of a CJ, like, can come up on the line if he needs to type of thing. My only concern with Jalen, and you know I'm a big Jalen guy, like, I defended Jalen to the death when he was here. I do wonder, like, Jalen's a big personality. He was here before he left.
Do you want to mess with the what you got kind of thing by bringing in somebody who kind of does things a different way?
Yeah, and I think Jalen's a great guy. The teammates really like him.
Well, he
I
would
just
be able to do what you talked about before with the...
Yeah, he went there and
went
came
there and
back.
Had to come back and, you know.
Yeah, so... That would be my only hesitation with Jalen. That, and let's be honest, I do not know if he was good enough.
Yeah, same.
I know his Pro Football Focus scores were not good last year, but that's not the end-all be-all. Mm-hmm. So I would be okay with Mills, but I would be more into Adrian Amos, John Johnson. I mean, the guy that we should also talk about is Kevin Byard.
Yeah, well, he's
I mean, he's like one of the best safeties in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. His stats are there. He's from Philly. Yeah, now, the issue with him is he's still on the Titans. Like, there's a whole
paid.
Well, that's the problem. He makes a lot of money. Yeah. His base salary, I think, is $13 million.
Yeah. So they'd have to restructure if they were going
to. Well, they would have to. So you could, you know, bring him in. You give him more guaranteed. You stretch him over 3 years. Like, I think it could be worked out. Now, I'd be really into that. Like, he's a better safety than CJ GJ.
So would you want to spend your resources there? I mean, we're talking about a multi-year thing. I mean, you've talked about the Devontae contract and all that. No, I'm not talking about versus CJ GJ.
Okay,
I'm talking about, would you forget CJ GJ? I'm talking about as with the Eagles, what they have right now, the money they have for the next few years now, like, would you want to, is that a position and a player that you would want to commit to, or would you rather, you know,
it's a tough
try
one.
And get through cheap?
So I don't think safety and linebacker are super important.
That's why I'm asking you the question.
But.
It's good to have a good safety. Yeah.
It's also just like, he's a good player.
Football player.
Yeah. So I didn't think CJ GJ was as good as anyone else. That's why I'm like, don't give him that money for that position. I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce his name. Byard?
Byard, I believe.
Byard.
I believe so.
Okay. So he is...
Could be Bird or... It's B-Y-A-R-D.
I think it's
B-Yard.
Like
I thought it was Byard, but it could be B-Yard. Okay. But I thought it was
Well,
Byard.
Let's call him Kevin.
Sure.
Okay. So...
Kev.
Now, yeah, Kev.
Kevin B.
Already a personal friend of the pod.
Yes.
I would pay him just because I think, like, you're supposed to win a Super Bowl next year. He's a good player. He's from Philly. I think he'd be a good locker room guy. He was on good defenses Tennessee. He has playoff experience. Like, he's worth it for me to pay. And I also think you're not giving him $16 million a year. Like, let's say, so he's due $13 million, I think, in base this year. I don't know what his rest of his guarantees are. I would guess not much if he's about to get traded or cut. You could, you know, guarantee him $20 million over 3 years, stretch it out. Like, I think there's ways to do it where it's not a big cap hit. So I would pay him. And then the question is, what would you trade for him? I don't even know how much, I don't know, a fourth,
I don't know what it would
a third?
Take. Yeah,
like,
I don't,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I would be into that.
I'm
to
sure
that
the
move.
Titans would be willing to. They are clearly transitioning as
yeah.
a franchise.
He's
and,
been a good
yeah.
player for them. They can trade him to his hometown
yeah.
team.
Yeah. They're not
out of the conference.
Yeah.
So I think that is definitely someone else.
No, it's a really interesting name to throw out there, and I think one obviously Eagles fans would get excited about. It's just a question of the money and all that.
Yes.
Just quickly, before we move on, and maybe you don't know the answer to this because Desai hasn't been here, and you guys haven't really talked to him and
yes.
all that type of stuff, but how much, because we know philosophically the Eagles don't really, you know, value linebackers, don't really value safeties historically. Now, they've had some great safeties here and
yeah.
there. Do you think Desai feels that way? Do you think that, obviously, they're you know, building the defense for
I mean,
him
the best answer
him.
I think I could give to that is I don't think they'd hire him if
he didn't have a similar yeah, philosophical feel.
Right. Yeah. I think that's sometimes something that gets lost in the whole, you know, oh, Howie's too involved and Nick. Yeah, like every company, and I get there's benefits to hiring people that have different beliefs in you, and I'm sure there's things he has different beliefs in, but like fundamentally, you want to hire people that you're all going to row the boat in the same
mm-hmm.
way. So
sure. you believe in the same thing
yeah.
and all that type of thing.
So I would be, I mean, and look, the Nicholas Morrow signing kind of points to this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would be surprised if they invested big money. I don't think Kevin Byard is big money at safety.
Kevin.
But I would be surprised if they invested big money in those spots. So
yeah,
yes, I think ultimately the system is going to be relatively the same. It's going to be don't give up big plays, hope you get pressure with the front four and you don't have to blitz. And
well, one other thing, and I think that we, you know, kind of we mentioned it early on in free agency, but then they've done a lot. Like, the Eagles
yeah.
have signed guys and made
yeah.
moves. Let's not forget what we said at the beginning of free agency and before it. There's still a lot of team building that happens after all this is done. Obviously, they have the draft coming up, but CJ GJ himself wasn't on the team till summer or whatever
right.
it was, right? I mean, you know, we've seen Bradbury wasn't on the team till later. Like, and I know they don't have the same money to spend, but you can always make things happen. Like, if there is a trade opportunity, if there is a June 1st cut or whatever type of stuff, like, Howie's on all that stuff. So,
well,
like, to assume that the roster as it is now is locked outside of the draft is probably faulty.
They will make moves for sure, obviously. But I also think we should highlight, like, they're the best team in the NFC.
Oh,
right?
Doubt.
So
yeah.
every team would trade, and the NFC would trade rosters with them. Like, we're going to talk a lot about their holes at safety and linebacker, and rightfully so, because it's, you know, the positions they're going to have to address. They have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts, two amazing tackles, it's elite edge rushers, arguably
best
the best cornerback
the
trio in the league. Like, their roster is stacked. So while they have to add safeties and linebackers, they're in a far better position than other teams because, to circle it up and put a bow on it, they prioritize the right players. Imagine we were doing this pod and saying, well, Sayamalu's gone, Juergen's the center, Slay's playing for whoever, Bradbury signed a big money deal, but they have TJ.
You're right.
Ultimately,
which again, take us all back to that time before free agency, a lot of people
yeah.
thought, oh, they're just going to keep CJ and Epps, and all these big guys are gone.
Right.
You know, that didn't
yeah.
happen.
And Kelsey being back is a big deal.
Yeah.
I know it's not signing a free agent, but it kind of is. I mean, it's, again, imagine if none of these players played for the Eagles and they added the best safety in the league, two of the top whatever corners in the league, you know, two guys at
best center in the league.
Yeah, sorry.
You said safety.
A guy that had double-digit sacks last year in BG, a
mm-hmm.
guy in Fletcher Cox that, you know, had 7.5, 8, I think only 5 or 6 defensive tackles had more sacks than him. So they've added, they've retained really talented players at the important spots. Now it's just about filling out the rest of the roster.
All right, outside the draft, what's next in your mind? Like, do you think there are still going to be a couple more of these Morrow-type signings at these positions, or do you think Howie's going to go to the draft and then kind of reevaluate and figure it out?
I think they're going to try to add depth on the lines, and I think that's where the need is. I would prioritize depth at offensive line and defensive line before I prioritize, you know, Kev is a difference because he's like a difference making player. But I would prioritize putting money there before the other positions. They are thin on the lines, for what it's worth. Like, they lost Dillard and they lost Seumalo, which means they lost Juergens as a backup. They don't have one backup I think you would trust right now. Like,
I mean, Driscoll's there. As close it gets, yeah.
And then on the defense,
Peta was not a disaster. Garvin bad. Played, but yeah, you know, you're not jumping up and down because of
Peta. I will say, who is, I can't think of his name right now. Josh Sills, the guy who had the whole legal situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note now that they did not release him. Like, I think they view...
Wow, really? I didn't even think you're right. He's still on the commissioner.
And look, I trust him to make the right decision with that, the legal all whatever, right? They like him. Like, they kept him on the 53. Like, if he wasn't going through the situation he was, I think they'd be talking about him as a guy that can be a top backup next year. Wow. He plays tackle, he plays interior. So, just putting that out there, I don't think you can trust...
No.
You know,
I might be in jail soon.
Yes,
like, you
right.
Know, yeah.
But just throwing that out
I'm
there.
I'm good on Josh Sills personally.
I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying when we talk about the guys
it's notable. You're right. They could have just cut him right away and they put him on the
commission. And they didn't. At defensive tackles, at the line, they're really thin at defensive tackles. So I think they need to add players there. How they won last year, Jalen was awesome, all these things. The best teams win with the line of scrimmages. That's how they won last year. And they have to add bodies there. So I think that's the next step for them. I think you'll see them add guys there. I don't think they'll go into the draft with an obvious need. I think they'll go in the draft and
like
be
bigger than it is. I mean, because safety is a need.
Correct.
But like, yeah,
yes.
I know what you mean. I think
I think at 10, they'll just, it sounds stupid and generic, but I do think they'll take the best player.
They'll take
the best player and they'll take a position they
value. Speaking of which, and we're going to get to our final thought in a sec, but Bijan Robinson in town, your thought, I mean, and look, they host so many guys who most of the guys there, they don't draft and all that, but like, you know, certainly notable when he's, you know, I'm in Philly, draft workout.
I swing so violently back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. Part of me says, like an analogy I can think of is, if you're out buying a car and you're like, all right, I have $20,000 to spend, and you see a car, you're like, God, that's a cool car, and it's $30,000. You can talk yourself into it, but deep down you know, like,
shouldn't be doing this.
I think that's how I feel about Bijan Robinson.
It's a good analogy.
It's fun to draft him. If you do it, you're just like, well, he's awesome. We did it. But you know deep down you're not making a good decision.
Yeah.
So if they did it and we're doing a post-draft pod on it, I will sit here and go, their offense is unbelievable. He'll be an instant impact player. I'm down with it. But it's like explaining to somebody, like, I bought a car $10,000 above my budget with a monthly payment I can't afford.
Because I just wanted it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes in life, I guess you just make those decisions.
Yeah, look, if they win a Super Bowl because Bijan Robinson is one of the best offensive players on the field, we're all going to be like, great job, who cares? But, you know, when you're
smart
building
organizations
your team,
do not take a running back high. Yeah. And the running backs that have been taken high have really not worked out. Like, Christian McCaffrey's awesome.
Well,
he did nothing in Carolina. But
he's been a great player, at least. I mean, I will say, generally, historically speaking, like, if a running back goes that high, they're usually a pretty damn good player. Like, they should not worth the resource, per se, but, like, Saquon Barkley, damn good player. Like, Todd Gurley, damn good player. Like, those guys who go that high, it's generally because they are truly elite.
And to counter my own point, they also generally go to bad teams.
Well, it's
a team in the top 10 is not normally coming off a Super Bowl.
No, you're right.
So he's joining a better roster.
No, it's a great point. Yeah.
But I just
don't see it. Like maybe if they trade back to like 20 or something like that, and he's on the board or something like that. Like, I can't see how
they would have taken McCaffrey.
I know. So it's possible. I understand. It's just like the idea of Howie taking a running back at 10. It's just like one of those things that doesn't compute.
Right. It goes against everything I believe.
Like,
in.
I don't know.
It's not the
like,
player. Yeah. I think they need another running back, but I just, I can't talk myself into it being the right decision.
Well, and it might not be, but it also could, you know, put them over
but
the top.
But he could come be awesome.
Yeah, who knows?
I agree with that too.
All right, let's get final thoughts. I know you got something coming up in a few, so let's get out of here. What do you got for your final thought? You want me to do first, or you so you can sort
I'll go
through?
Quick because it sounds like yours is. All right,
so mine's not long. It's just, it's a very Elliot take.
All right, go ahead.
My take after flying yesterday, this is the kind of thing where Fally's over like, oh, what are you? I don't think you should be allowed to talk on planes to other people.
I think that's a phenomenal take.
Yeah, I think everyone has.
Yeah,
to
it is
put
a very Elliot take. Yeah,
put it is right.
Yeah,
but read your book, whatever. Like everyone's like yammering and stuff. I'm like, just let me read my book. I'm on a plane right now. Okay, what are you talking about? You don't even know this person. You're like chatting it up. Like,
and here's the other thing too. Like, when you all see like five or six people on a plane and they're all like, you know, being like, oh, it's like, all right, we get it. You're here to have a fun time.
Yes, we have people across aisles.
Right.
It's like, stop it.
Do it in 2 hours when you land.
You can hang out when you land.
We get it. You're having fun drinking.
People are sleeping. People are reading. People are whatever. I'm so happy you're on board.
I agree.
It is a very Elliot take, though.
And
right?
I think it's like, it's annoying in the way where I think it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. I'm like, I hope they don't talk to me and I have to partake in it.
It's like, all right, enough. You know,
I think that's a good take. I agree. No talking. And it's not that crazy. There's quiet cars on a train.
Yeah, it wasn't like the craziest thing ever, but I was like, this is an Elliot take and I really feel strongly about it. So I'm so happy you're with me.
I have discovered the most unreal reality show I've ever seen. And I'm honestly surprised they're allowed to make it.
Wow.
Okay.
Coming from someone who knows their reality.
Here's how crazy it is. I tweeted, I have found the most insane reality show.
People knew what it was.
And I didn't say the name, and I had multiple people tweet me about it.
Oh, you're watching this.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. All right. So it's called MILF Manor. So it's not like a porn thing. I think it's on TLC or Bravo. Like
MILF Manor?
Like a generic type station.
Yeah,
like you don't pay extra to get this.
Sure.
Like, okay, so here's the show. So the whole concept of the show is older women that like to date younger guys. And so
hence MILF, yes.
So they put eight women that I think they're all above their 50s, maybe like late 40s, that go on an island or, you know, like an island or whatever. And the whole setup is they're going to be, it's a love show where they're going to put eight younger guys on the island. So it's eight older women, eight younger guys. But here's the twist.
Oh, there's a twist.
The guys on the island are their sons. So
that's, what?
Yes. So like
that is horrifying.
The eight women.
What is happening right now?
So the eight women on the show.
So they're like seeing their sons with the
Correct.
This is horrifying.
It's,
who let this happen?
It is the creepiest thing I've
ever. It's horrifying.
James,
like I'm sick to my stomach.
Listen to this. Listen to this thing they did.
Oh, God.
So they did like a game, I guess I would call it. Like honestly, I'm really like if this show doesn't end in someone being arrested, I'd be floored. I also think it's like not that far off from like episode 7 is going to be like I'm dating my own son.
Yes, like, what is happening here? Yeah.
So, all right. And everyone on the island, of course, because they like are all like, oh, I get it. Like, you know. But so the last episode we watched, they did a game where all the sons took their shirts off. They blindfolded the moms. And the mom, each mom went down the like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Touched the guy's shirtless, and they had to find their own son.
They had to find their own son. Right now.
So if I'm a producer, I'm like, how can you find your son's shirtless body? Like, shouldn't everyone be concerned about this?
What's happening right now?
Isn't it weird to think the mom went down the aisle and was like, oh yeah, this is definitely my son.
Oh my God.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, like the whole vibe of the show, it's
creepy.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to watch every episode.
Of course.
But it's like, I don't get how they're produced. Like, last thing I'll say, what I don't get is when all their sons stepped out, why didn't they all scream in horror?
I'm not partaking in this. What are we doing here?
Right.
What is happening?
You don't have to, you could just be like, oh my God, this is not what I signed up for.
This is
instead,
horrifying.
They're all just kind of like, oh, that's my son. Like, and the guys are like, ha, that's my mom. And like, so the sons and the mom share rooms.
This is so crazy, dude.
And the mom share rooms.
I can't believe this is real.
It's unbelievable. And
this
like,
feels like a joke in a movie about how bad reality television is.
Dude. So in the second episode, one of the moms hooked up with one of like the other sons, and her son had to leave the room so that they.
Oh my God! No.
And look, it's fine to date younger people. Like that's
sure,
not legal,
but not in
but
front of
the
their
whole
mother,
thing.
Or son, or
and
whatever.
The other thing is these kids are like 22.
Oh
it's not like
God.
They're. It honestly has a vibe. It has a vibe of like moms at like a prom where they're like, oh, like little Jimmy grew up. Like that's like what it. I'm telling you, dude. It is. I'm floored. That they made this show.
Wow, you were not so when you sometimes you lead it, I'm like, oh, that's not that weird.
Yeah,
I can't believe this is a real show.
Yeah,
like
it's unbelievable.
This feels like a joke. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, they text about the thing. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right, so that's gotta go.
Yeah.
MILF Manor, don't watch it. Elliot will tell us.
Or watch it and like
Be horrified.
Recognize it, it's not appropriate,
horrified. All right. We'll be back soon. Pod coming up later in the week.
And tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we'll do the Parks Picks pod. All right, Elliot's got to go like right now. So we will talk to you guys later. Thank you, everyone. Love you guys. He's Elliot.